You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 18th of January, 2023, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, today I want to take a look at so-called conversion therapy, because the UK government are talking about banning this, the Scottish government are talking about banning this, and we're going to start with a warning from somebody who's been looking at what the Scottish government are doing, and they're particularly concerned that what the Scottish government are doing may be out of sync with what the UK government are doing, because we have recently seen that that has caused the UK government to say that they will not be recognising Scotland's new gender identification bill. And the concern is that Scotland's conversion therapy ban is also going to contradict the UK government's conversion therapy ban. But I don't think that it is. I think this is what the UK government are doing. So let's start with this warning about this. The Scottish government is on a collision course with the courts again as it prepares legislation criminalising conversion therapy, according to a KC. And a KC is a King's Counsel, which is a senior trial lawyer. And this is taken from the ScottishLegal.com website. Double Silk, Aidan O'Neill, King's Counsel, has warned that the proposals would be outside the legislative competence of the Scottish Parliament. The SNP Green Alliance is considering plans to outlaw any activity, including parental chats, prayer and preaching, deemed to be an attempt to change a person's sexuality or gender identity. Now, it's rather strange, isn't it, that if you try to talk to somebody about how they might prefer heterosexual relationships, they're trying to outlaw that. Yet it's perfectly legal to suggest to people that they might enjoy homosexual relationships. We are continually being bombarded with all this propaganda telling us we should be celebrating homosexuality, for instance. And yet there's no calls that that should be banned, because that could be trying to change somebody's sexuality or gender identity. But if it's the other way around and somebody is homosexual or transgender or claiming to be either of those things, they're trying to make it illegal to suggest to them that they might be happier being heterosexual. The Scottish government appointed an expert group which made a series of recommendations for a new criminal offence, which it claims will be within Holyrood's devolved powers. So they want to make it a criminal offence, basically, to have an opinion that contradicts this new idea that people that claim to be the opposite sex actually are the opposite sex, and this new idea that children below the age of consent can come out as homosexuals, and we shouldn't be alarmed at that. Anybody that is alarmed at that obviously runs the risk of breaking the law in Scotland if they bring these laws in. Mr. O'Neill, that's the King's Counsel, has said the proposals are fundamentally illiberal and beyond the powers of the Scottish Parliament to legislate. I mean, it will prevent people from being able to discuss these issues with anyone, and it will probably prevent people from even debating these issues, because it could be said that the debate, because it's seeking to change the mind of the person that you are debating, then you're therefore trying to encourage them to change their views on homosexuality or transgenderism. In a written opinion for the Christian Institute, Mr. O'Neill said the far-reaching conversion therapy proposals would criminalise innocent parents and preachers. So any parents that didn't agree that their child was transgender, if they thought that the child maybe had body dysmorphia or maybe was on the autistic spectrum, may have been anorexic or bulimia, bipolar, all these things can manifest themselves in a similar way to gender dysphoria. Any parents that are suggesting this, they would be criminalised for doing so. At the moment, it's the guidelines that all professionals should affirm the gender identity that somebody identifies as. And I believe this is getting misused with children. I mean, obviously, if it's an adult that is doing this, then you obviously want to be polite and conscientious. So you're obviously going to refer to somebody with the pronouns that that they wish to have. But when you have a child that is doing this, and if they stay on that pathway, then they could end up on taking hormone blockers, puberty blockers, and then taking the opposite sex's hormones, and then getting their breasts cut off, and then realizing they've made a mistake once they get to 20. That is a completely different issue, isn't it? Rather than somebody who's, say, in their 20s who is identifying as the opposite gender. It's very different when it is a child. And Kemi Badenoch, in the UK government, in the Conservatives, she pointed out last year that schools should not be doing this. They should not be socially transitioning children. They should be referring to children by the sex that is on the birth certificate. And what the Scottish Parliament are saying is that if anybody does that, they want to send them to prison for that. Simon Calvert, a deputy director at the Christian Institute, said his organisation is preparing the ground for legal action similar to the named person challenge. And I think the named person challenge was again, it was something to do with children's rights, the rights of parents to be responsible for their children. And this named person was superseding the parental rights. So I think that was something that was going on in Scotland a few years back, perhaps a decade back in actual fact. And I think it was actually stopped with these legal challenges. Simon Calvert said, if the Scottish government follows the advice of its expert advisory group, it will be exceeding its powers and inflicting the most totalitarian conversion therapy ban in the world. Well, this is what he's saying, but the UK government are saying that they are going to have a conversion therapy ban, and they had said that this was not going to apply to transgenders, and now they are saying that it will apply to transgenders. Simon Calvert said, Mr. O'Neill says the proposals would have the undoubted effect of criminalising much mainstream pastoral work of churches, mosques and synagogues and temples, and that prayers and sermons would be criminalised if their content did not conform to the new state requirements. Perhaps even they would say that you're not even allowed to use the terms male and female anymore, because that's exclusionary. It excludes people that don't identify as either gender. Church workers, feminist activists, mums and dads, all sort of innocent people could find themselves on the wrong end of a prosecution if this becomes law. And I think Scottish taxpayers will eventually find themselves picking up the legal bill for another court defeat. And if we have time, we'll have a look at another article here, which is talking about these parents that suddenly discover that the school is referring to their child as if they are the opposite gender. And they've tried to get something done about this, and they get threatened with having their children taken away from them. Now, if this becomes law, and they then show concern about this, they can be locked up for this. Parents could be locked up for this, because they would say that they're trying to carry out this conversion therapy on someone. And this is even when somebody consents to this, when somebody says, well, I want to learn about this. I don't think I would be happy as being a transgender. I would like to know the pros and the cons. Even if somebody was to say that, and then somebody was to tell them the pros and the cons, the person telling them that could be arrested for conversion therapy. That's how serious this is. Simon Calvert continued, LGBT people are rightly protected from physical and verbal abuse by existing law, just like anyone else. But these proposals go much, much further. The Scottish Government is considering a law that could criminalise churches and gender-critical feminists alike, simply because their conversations around sex and gender don't conform to a narrow, state-approved brand of LGBT politics. And at the moment, it's just LGBT propaganda, but so much of it is now getting the sanction from the state. And you have to ask whether part of that could be because of the high percentage of homosexuals that are now involved in politics. We just had the census. 1% of people used to identify as homosexual, and now it is 2% of people that identify as homosexual. And I think you'll find, if you look at the percentage of people identifying as homosexual in the Conservative Party and the Labour Party, particularly the ones that are in power, it will be much, much more than just 2%. It's probably more like 10%. So you have a group within the politicians who wish to promote this idea. They have a personal stake in this, basically. You can't expect them to be objective because they have a personal stake in this. It may be down to that. And also, the LGBT lobby also has a disproportionate amount of power. They have a lot of wealth. There are a lot of money is expanded into it from the corporations, because it stops people from criticizing the corporations. You know, you may have noticed over the last 10, 15 years, people on the left stopped talking about how the workers weren't being paid enough, and they started promoting the idea that LGBT people were being discriminated against. And this has become the major issue. Dr. E. Michael Jones says it's effectively saying, don't look at what the corporations are doing, just get along to the gay disco. And that's effectively what they're doing. But even having a discussion like that could end up being illegal because of this conversion therapy. If you say that there may be other reasons why this is being promoted, other than suddenly people are just being born into the wrong bodies, I guess, is what the LGBT crowd are implying, the people that are advocating for this. Even if you were just saying that there could be other reasons for this, then, you know, that could come under the heading of conversion therapy, depending on who it is that you're talking to. And I guess they could even say that it doesn't, you don't even have to be trying to convert somebody who is saying that they are transgender or homosexual, just coming out with things that may not be so positive about that lifestyle could possibly come into this, because they could say, well, somebody might overhear you, or somebody might come across what you have said, and they might be homosexual or identifying as transgender, and what you said may make them think, maybe I should stop being homosexual, or maybe I aren't transgender, and that would be a great crime. And that's effectively what they're saying here, is that if you encourage doubt in a person about whether they actually are homosexual or transgender, then you're engaging in this conversion therapy. And obviously, it would very often be parents that are the first people that this is going to occur to. And he says, we're very concerned that the expert advisory group is urging them, as the Scottish Parliament, to pass a law that would put the ordinary work of churches in the firing line. The report advocates a new criminal offence that does not require any proof or any intention of harm. It will be illegal to say the wrong thing, even if it is totally harmless. Aidan O'Neill refers to this as a strict liability offence where there is no need for any criminal intent in order to be found guilty. So even if you've got the best intentions, you're trying to help somebody, that person has asked you for that help, asked you for that information, and you give them that information, you've broken the law, there is a strict liability, and it's a criminal offence. In his opinion, Mr. O'Neill states that the legislation would breach the European Convention on Human Rights, specifically Article 8, which protects family life, Article 9, which guarantees freedom of religion, and Article 10, which guarantees freedom of expression, and Article 11, which guarantees the right to free association. He said the expert group's recommendations undoubtedly involve proposals for radical changes in the current law and a marked expansion in the powers of the state. Indeed, they are fundamentally illiberal in intent. Remember, he is warning about the Scottish government doing this, yet the UK government are doing this as well. And we'll get into what's being said about that in a minute. This is because in order to stigmatise and change what the expert group's members clearly regard to be morally objectionable behaviours and attitudes, that's the conversion practices, the expert group recommends a new use of, in particular, the criminal law. So, and that's what it is here. It's behaviours, attitudes, opinions, basically. It's an outgrowth of this idea that some people's opinions are just criminal in themselves in order to voice them. The Scottish authorities are called upon by the expert group to use the full weight of the state's coercive powers of expropriation, incarceration, and humiliation against individuals and associations in Scotland deemed guilty, even at an individual's request or with their consent, of performing, offering, promoting, authorising, prescribing, or arranging for any treatment, practice, or effort that is deemed to be aimed at changing, suppressing, and or eliminating that person's sexual orientation, gender identity, and or gender expression. And of course, that only applies if you are homosexual. If you are heterosexual, then it's perfectly fine to try and change, suppress, or eliminate that sexual orientation. I mean, what else would you call giving people homosexual role models before they've reached the age of consent? What would you call having drag queen story hour from an early age? What would you call having these LGBTQ clubs in schools and encouraging people to go along to them regardless of their sexual identity? I mean, all of those things are about promoting the LGBTQ lifestyle to children. Quite clearly, that is an attempt to encourage people to identify as those sexualities. I mean, that's why they do it. They admit that's why they're doing it. They don't want people to feel as if they're being discriminated against. They want people that are homosexual to identify as it. I mean, that's what they say there. They're saying that people are innately homosexual, and therefore it's wrong to say that they might be something different. People are innately transgender, but they don't appear to be saying, well, people are innately heterosexual, and therefore it's wrong to encourage changes in that, and it's wrong to promote all these homosexual lifestyles to them. And it's all completely one-sided here. As I say, that there is an article in the Telegraph which is warning about this conversion therapy, not in Scotland, but in the United Kingdom. And this is taken from that. It is essential for the safeguarding of our children that life-changing decisions, such as embarking on gender realignment, are carefully interrogated. Organisations like Stonewall tend to amplify the myth that gender identity is permanent and innate, only, of course, if you're transgender, that is, even when it is at odds with your biological sex. Yet identity claims come and go, and there are a range of background factors relevant to whether or not a child might temporarily reject their biological sex. These include autism, same-sex attraction, a history of trauma, time spent in the care system, a girl's discomfort at impending sexual maturity, or simply just being in the grip of a social media fashion. So there are all these other reasons that could be there for why somebody is saying that they're identifying as the opposite gender. And if they bring this law in, you will be breaking the law if you suggest that it might be that they've had a traumatic history, might be that they're homosexual, might be that they're autistic. I mean, at the moment, these doctors are not able to suggest these things anyway, because they're given this guidance that they should affirm the gender identity that a child presents to them with. They already have problems with suggesting it might be another reason. And what they're saying here is that not just doctors, not just guidance, but it will be against the law. It'll be a criminal act to point out, say, with somebody who is autistic, that it might be their autism that has had an effect on this decision of theirs to identify as the opposite gender. Studies suggest that many children who say they are trans will change their mind as they mature. There is also evidence that once socially affirmed by parents, teachers, and health professionals, resistance later is made less likely, as is desistance. Yet social affirmation is the approach heavily mandated by activists who tend to present it as transphobic or even a hate crime to do anything less. So we have studies here that say that people that say they are changed, they will change their mind as they mature. Yet if you've got everybody telling them that they are in actual fact really the opposite gender, then they're likely to ask for hormone blockers, puberty blockers. Then they're likely to go on the opposite sex's hormones, because once they've started, it's very difficult for them to stop, and they don't know what the effects are going to be when they stop. And if you've been telling somebody that they are the opposite gender between the ages of, say, 10 and 15, if they then stop taking the puberty blockers and want to go back to being the original gender, they've missed out on 5 years worth of training of what it's going to be like to be a man, or what it's going to be like to be a woman. They've going to miss out on really important education, basically, that you have between those ages. And they're not going to have had that, because they're going to have been hanging around with the gender that they told everybody that they were, rather than the biological sex that their body tells them that they are. As the NHS CAS review now makes clear, the outcomes associated with such interventions remain poorly understood, and some of them have potentially severe and life-limiting complications in adulthood. I mean, under the way that this Conversion Therapy Act in Scotland is being talked about, you would not even be able to say that, because that could be deemed as an attempt to prevent somebody from becoming transgender or going through with these operations. In the last few years, a generation of post-adolescent detransitioners has emerged, recanting on former claims about their own trans identities. Many are both literally and psychologically scarred from encountering a mindlessly affirmative approach in the past. With bitter irony, a relatively large proportion of them have turned out to be gay or lesbian, with bodies that are now irrevocably damaged by the approach demanded in the name of LGBT people generally. And there is a movement of lesbian, gays and bisexuals that are saying that they do not want anything to do with this trans agenda. Yet the mainstream just puts it all together, LGBT. And because of that, you now end up with this crazy idea that that a male with a penis that identifies as a woman is coming on to a lesbian and saying that the lesbian is transphobic because they don't want to go with a woman with a penis. Crazy ideas like this are now going on. As I said at the beginning of the show, we now have these instances where parents are being surprised to find out that the school has started socially transitioning their child and is referring to the child by the opposite gender. And anybody that is upset at this, under these new gender trans conversion laws, they could end up being criminally penalised for this. At the moment, they can't be, but you can have your children taken off you. This report here comes from the Daily Mail. It's an opinion piece, and it's basically about these parents that discover that the school has been doing this against their wishes. And it starts with another referral to the CAS review. Last year, in the CAS review, an independent review of gender identity services for children and young people, Dr. Hilary CAS said that socially transitioning children was not a neutral act. It is important to view social transition as an active intervention, because it may have significant effects on the child or young person in terms of their psychological functioning, she wrote. Of course it's an active intervention. I mean, it's a school that starts referring to the child by the opposite gender. It means you've got all this reinforcement that they're not actually the biological sex that they were born into, but that they are the opposite sex. The neutral act is to keep referring to them as their biological sex tells you you should be referring to them, and as what it says on their birth certificate. It seems that when it comes to the contentious issue of gender, Some teachers are failing in basic safeguarding duties. Hundreds, possibly thousands of families are affected, and parental support groups say that the problem is now running nationwide. This comes amidst the backdrop of Nicola Sturgeon's controversial plans for gender self-identification, which of course has been blocked by the UK government. The proposed Gender Recognition Reform Scotland Bill would mean people could change gender without a medical diagnosis, including lowering the minimum age from 18 to 16. And yesterday, the UK government announced that a plan to ban conversion therapy will include the outlawing of trans conversion therapy. So there is going to be all the legal weight behind this, behind children deciding that they want to be referred to by the opposite gender. Ministers insist the controversial move won't see parents and doctors being inadvertently criminalised by discussing gender with children, yet campaigners fear the move could affect legitimate counselling and support for vulnerable youngsters. Well, we know that it certainly will in Scotland, because we've just had the King's Council telling us that it will criminalise parents and it will criminalise churches. And as I say, the UK government said that they weren't going to include transgenders in this conversion therapy ban, but now they say that they are. The situation is becoming a minefield for parents. Over the last 3 years, more than 850 parents of trans-identified adolescents and young people have contacted us from all over the UK seeking support, with many of these reporting that schools had changed their child's name and pronouns without consent, says a spokeswoman for Bayswater Support, a group set up by parents in 2019. And as I say, this whole article is about various parents that have had this happen to them. They say, parents tell us that when they try to engage constructively with schools, it is often implied that they are a risk to their own children. Teachers should be more mindful of the most common underlying conditions, autism, ADHD, trauma, and internalized homophobia, and be wary of inadvertently pushing minors towards irreversible medical and surgical treatments. And this is the thing. I mean, all teenagers go through fads, they go through phases, but this is one fad or phase that can end up causing permanent damage for life. Tanya Carter, spokeswoman for Safe Schools Alliance, agrees. This is an increasing issue, with schools acting as if they have the right to strip parents of parental responsibility, but they don't. Only the courts do, she says. Well, if the Scottish Government has their way and the UK Government have their way, it will be the courts doing this and criminalising the parents if they don't agree. The misapprehension that schools should keep secrets from parents is so entrenched that there is now even a checkbox school management system to say whether a child's preferred pronouns should only be used in schools. But the UK Government is clear that part of parental responsibility is naming the child and agreeing to any change of name. And as I say, Cammie Badenoch pointed out that these schools should be referring to the children by the name on the birth certificate. And people said, well, isn't this good? The Conservatives are actually being conservative. But now we hear that the Conservatives are going to be bringing in this conversion therapy, which is going to make it illegal to do that. Sally Miller, a 52-year-old finance manager, discovered her child had been socially transed at school behind her back when she was 14. Her daughter, Eleanor, now 18, was referred to as Jude, first with they, them pronouns, and later he, him pronouns, without any discussion with Sally or her husband, Gordon. It sounds that since they're referring to her as Eleanor, it sounds like she has detransitioned now. Hopefully she managed to do that without going on to any of these drugs and without any physical damage to her. There are so many of these detransitioners that are physically damaged, that have had organs cut off, that are going to be like that for the rest of their lives. It's absolutely horrific. It's a real tragedy what is going on here. Sally Mellor said, "We were such a normal family before all this, not religious or political, but quiet and really rather boring. But when Eleanor started at her private co-ed secondary school, she was badly bullied. And I encouraged her to join some clubs so she could find new friends." And of course, you know what sort of club she joined. One of those clubs was the LGBTQ+ club. She said she felt a bit awkward because she was the only straight girl there. but I said that if everyone was welcoming, it wouldn't matter. She would make new friends, and I really had no idea what was to come. A few months later, Eleanor came out at school as non-binary, choosing the gender-neutral name Jude and they/them pronouns. Sally found out what was happening via a friend. It confused us at first because we had no idea what it meant, says Sally. And I'll just, again, I'll just stop there because this shows you that somebody heterosexual goes along to where they have all the homosexual propaganda, and literally within months she's then identifying as non-binary. And apparently there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong is with these parents saying to her, well, you might not be non-binary, it might be something else. And as we see here, they had a suspicion that it was autism. The parent, Sally, she says, we spoke to friends who said that it was like the new goth. So we thought it was a fashion thing and she'd just grow out of it. This is the horrific thing. You know, for a lot of these children, that's what it is. It's just a fashion, but they end up being permanently disfigured for the rest of their lives. And we don't know what the end results of puberty blockers and taking cross-sex hormones are going to be for these people when they grow up. She said, I also suspected Eleanor might be autistic and wondered if this change of identity may have something to do with it. So I rang child and adolescent mental health services for advice. They said they were hearing lots of similar stories of girls identifying as non-binary and that there might be a link between that and autism. I mean, it does look as if there is a link. I think there have been studies that have been done that show that there is a link. Obviously, you've got a very high percentage of people who are autistic that are now identifying as transgender. With waiting times running into years, Sally and her husband arranged an appointment with a private clinical psychologist who agreed that there was a good possibility that Eleanor might be autistic. When it came to social transition, he advised the family that no one should affirm Eleanor's belief that she was not female. So he clearly thinks this is autism, and it's not going to help to confuse the child and tell them that they are the opposite gender. We were advised to watch and wait and see how things develop, and that seemed like a very sensible approach. After all, she was still only 14, says Sally. We rang the school and told them what the clinical psychologist had said, and we were shocked by their response. So what they've got is they've got a professional doctor's psychologist's opinion who has been talking to them rather than to the child. Perhaps they did talk to the child, and it's very brave of them not to just affirm the child's presented gender. But they've got a professional report here from a psychologist. But of course, what the school is going to do, the school is going to carry out what the activists have told them they should carry out. They're going to carry out what mermaids have told them to do. They're going to carry out what Stonewall have told them to do. They're not going to do what the doctor tells them to. The year head, who also just happened to run the LGBT club, told us that as parents, we had no say in how Jude wanted to be referred to. He said that they were focusing on Jude's well-being and mental health and that they would be affirming their identity. So they've completely overruled the parents here. I was stunned. We immediately asked for a meeting and went to the school and repeated the advice we were given by the clinical psychologist that Eleanor was not to be socially transitioned by anyone. But again, we were told that as parents, we had no rights to do that. My jaw was on the floor. You think you are dealing with educated professionals, but they refused to listen. Well, they're not educated professionals, are they? What they are is activists. That's what they're doing. They're promoting the activist line. And if Scotland has their way with the conversion therapy ban, and UK Parliament has its way as well, then parents like this will end up being criminalised for doing this, for suggesting that it may be something other than gender dysphoria in their child. The couple decided to keep Eleanor in school as she seemed settled, but only a few months later, she had come out again to the school as a boy this time, wanting to use he, him pronouns. Again, Sally and her husband only found out by accident weeks later. And there's another case in this article here. Obviously, I haven't got time to go through the whole article. And they found out because they saw a letter that was addressed, an official letter from the school that was addressed to somebody, and they had no idea who this person was. And this person was actually their daughter, who the school was referring to as male, and it had just been completely kept from the parents. as this would have been. I mean, it was just at school that they said that they wanted to be a boy, and they just found out by accident weeks later. Sally said, "We were horrified that they had done this and repeated the view of the psychologist that she had adopted this new identity to cope with the bullying, and we offered to put them in touch with experts in this field. But by this time, their response was to report me to social services. I got an email saying that the school was concerned that my child was at the threshold for child protection, which terrified me. Child protection is the most serious thing a school can report a parent for, as it is indicating abuse, and you can have your children taken from you." So she's effectively been accused of being a child abuser for being concerned that the child is actually autistic and may not have gender dysphoria. And on the other end of this, you've got a year head who runs an LGBTQ club, and within months of the child, who has always shown that they were heterosexual before that, within months of them going to the club, they're identifying as transgender and asking to be referred to as he, him. And the activist teacher, instead of going along with the parents' wishes, they're going along with this activism line that the child has to be referred to by their preferred gender. And she's even got in touch with social services. So what that's telling us is that already at the moment, you can report them to social services for this. So there's all this pressure on the parents, taking away the parents' rights. And with this conversion therapy ban, it's going to criminalize the parents. It's not going to be that they're going to get their child taken away from them. Not just that, they're going to end up in prison as well if they try and talk some sense into their child. And obviously nobody's going to be more concerned for the child than the parents. Nobody is going to know the child better than the parents. And yet, as it says in that Scottish law, regardless of what the intentions are, and regardless of if the child has asked the parents for help with this, they will simply be prosecuted because they have a different opinion to the LGBTQ plus promoted opinion. It's scandalous, really. I mean, I was pleased that the UK government said that they were not going to be including transgender in this conversion therapy bill. They said that a couple of months back. I don't think there should be a ban on conversion therapy anyway, but at least they weren't going to include transgender in this. But now they are going to include transgender in this, and now we were able to have a sneak look at what the Scottish bill is going to do, and I can't see that the United Kingdom bill is going to be any different. It's it must be awful to be a parent in these days and to have a child at school, and you don't know if when they're at that school there is an LGBTQ club head teacher who is encouraging them to think that they're the opposite gender. And in the near future, if you were upset at that or tried to talk your child out of it, you could be criminalised. We need to get some nationalist politicians in power, don't we, to do something about this. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.